Once again, I want to talk about the presidential election. And I may be, you know, there might be some of you out there who are tired of hearing us talk about it on this show. Sometimes I get tired of talking about it on this show, but then it's kind of like the car wreck that you pass on the highway where you really can't help but just sort of stare at it as you go by, even though what you're seeing is horrifying. It's just that kind of election. I think about all the weird stuff that has gone on this year. You have an unprecedented breakdown in the establishment conservative party of the Republicans this time around. That party, that whole side of the political spectrum in American discourse, is in more disarray today than at any time that I can recall in my life, at least since I began to become politically aware. I can't recall another time the Republicans have been this screwed up. It's pretty incredible. You have, and we talked about this at length last week, you have essentially the fallout from several decades of lies, of fear-mongering, of racist dog-whistling, of coded references to the most hateful elements of the Republican base. And what do you have today? You have a party in which that base has essentially taken over, much to the dismay and the chagrin of the elite establishment Republican leadership. Complete disarray. You got the presumptive nominee, I think we can say with 100% certainty now, that Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee. Presumptive nominee with no experience in public office, with a spotty business record, with a very colorful and somewhat checkered career as a reality TV host, and a man with an assembled record of public utterances, personal history of misogyny, of racism, of xenophobia, and of a questionable relationship with the truth. This is the guy that the Republican Party has thrown up for the highest office in the land. Why? Because they created him. That's why. That's not entirely accurate. They didn't create Donald Trump. They created enough people willing to support a guy like Donald Trump. So the Republican Party is absolutely off the rails in a complete tailspin. One might think that this is the golden opportunity that progressives and leftists and liberals, pick your adjective, pick your noun, have been waiting for, right? What a time, what an opportunity to enter office with something like a mandate for actual progressive change in this country. But the Democrats seem prepared to offer up perhaps the most business-friendly, establishment-sanctioned, centrist, corporate Democrat nominee in modern memory. Some might think this is a missed opportunity. I suspect that many of you listening think that this is a missed opportunity. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, married to a former president of the United States, a United States senator, multiple terms, Secretary of State under the current president of the United States, Barack Obama, a partner in the Clinton Foundation, a massive nonprofit organization with operations all over the globe, and a somewhat impenetrable and dubious record of funneling contributions to outcomes that perhaps aren't entirely connected with the Clinton Foundation's objectives. In other words, about as mainstream and connected and as establishment a candidate as you might possibly conceive for the Democratic Party. And much like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton is the product of several decades of messaging and of shifting political ground on the left side of the spectrum. Her husband, one of the founding members of the infamous Democratic Leadership Commission in the 1980s and 1990s, was one of the architects of the new corporate-friendly centrist Democratic Party that is, by any measure, a shadow of the progressive force that it once was. After the electoral defeat of Jimmy Carter in 1980, this realignment began to happen in the Democratic Party. After the populist success of the Reagan Revolution, and even then, the increasing dominance of corporate contributions in political life, the Democratic Party, to a large extent, realigned itself around this new set of principles. In order to win, they said, basically, we have to turn our backs on the base that has sustained us for so long. We are no longer going to be as friendly to labor as we once were. We are no longer going to be the active progressive force that we once were. We are going to risk alienating a big chunk of our liberal base so that we can contend in presidential elections. And this came to fruition in the election of Secretary Clinton's husband, Bill, in 1992. And centrist Democrats took that victory as a sign that this was the way to go forward. This was the way to national electoral success. Now, that conclusion, some might say, is a dubious one because it sort of obfuscates the fact that Bill Clinton, in his first election in 1992, didn't win a majority of votes. Bill Clinton won a plurality of votes in a three-way race between himself, George Bush the smarter, and Ross Perot. So this conclusion on the behalf of the Democratic Leadership Council and other corporate-friendly centrist Democrats that this, yes, indeed, was the way forward to national electoral success may have been a bit premature. And I think history has borne out the fact that it has been to the Democratic Party's detriment that it was so willing to alienate its constituent base that so long formed the core of the progressive movement in this country. I'm talking about a number of separate coalitions, because that's what the Democratic Party has been historically, right? And I know many of you out there are not Democrats, and that's fine. But I know that most of you out there who listen to the show on a regular basis identify as leftists or as liberals or as progressives, something like that. I know many of you are not officially affiliated with the Democratic Party, but it is a fact that historically the Democratic Party has been a patchwork of many different constituencies, very disparate and diverse constituencies, sometimes constituencies whose objectives and goals were at odds with one another. I'm talking about minority voters, African-American voters in particular. I'm talking about environmentalists. I'm talking about labor unions. And on and on and on. This was the patchwork that made up the Democratic Party. For many years, all of them firmly on board with Roosevelt's New Deal vision of a progressive activist government that took an active role in American life with the intent of making life more equitable and better for everybody. And for a long time, that worked. Until Reagan came along. And the Democrats' response to Reagan, oh, we're going to cut all those people loose. Dubious record of success since then, I think. So that brings us to today. The Republican nomination is all but sewn up by a complete electoral aberration. Let's give it up for Donald Trump. He is many things, but he is really unlike any major party nominee in the modern era for at least the past 100 years. He is something completely new in this picture. And facing off against him, the veritable epitome of a centrist, middle-of-the-road, corporate-friendly, incremental change-oriented Democrat, Hillary Clinton, who does have going for her the fact that she doesn't have a Y chromosome. That is also something incredibly new in a major party nominee, a presumptive nominee. Because let's face it, many of you out there are Bernie Sanders supporters. It's all but over for Bernie, mathematically. Yes, the system in which he is participating is not a fair one. The system in which he is participating, and I'm talking about the Democratic nomination process, is one that is weighted heavily in favor of candidates more like Secretary Clinton, candidates closer to that centrist, corporate-friendly core of the party that is fueled more by donors and their contributions than it is by any sort of response to its longtime constituent base, who, let's admit it, are still surprisingly loyal to the Democratic Party. Maybe that's not so surprising. Maybe they're loyal to the Democratic Party because the alternative is so unthinkable. So I'm interested to hear a few things from you today. As progressives, as liberals, or as a conservative, if you want to call up and show your share your opinion as well, can you live with a Hillary Clinton presidency? Is that something that's acceptable for you? If so, why? Or if so, on what terms? And I ask on what terms because there's been some wheeling and dealing between the Sanders and Clinton campaigns and the Democratic National Committee as the Democratic Convention draws ever nearer. And those concessions seem to indicate that the party establishment has recognized the Sanders movement for what it is, as something that powerfully animates not only many members of its traditional patchwork of constituencies, but one that is powerfully animating a new generation of younger voters. The future of the Democratic Party is with the Sanders movement, and I think that the party establishment has come to realize that to a certain extent, and as such seems willing to be make a number of concessions to Bernie and his followers. For example, there was a deal recently reached, and I'm referring now to the recent article in the Washington Post by Greg Sargent, that Bernie is going to have a significant impact on the drafting of the Democratic Party's platform this year. There's a 15-member committee that writes the platform. The Sanders campaign, and Bernie himself, one might assume, is going to be able to name 5 members to that committee. The Clinton campaign will be able to name 6, and the remaining 4 will be named by Democratic Party Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So at least in terms of the apportionment of members of that committee, and when you dig down a little deeper into who's actually going to be picked by the parties, it starts looking like the party platform coming out of the convention is going to be a progressive one. Now, whether that transfers ultimately into progressive policy remains to be seen. But if the ultimate objective of the quixotic Bernie Sanders campaign was to have a concrete impact on the direction of the party's future, it would seem that that effort has been successful, even if Bernie himself doesn't end up being the nominee. So again, progressives, is this enough for you? Is this something you can work with? Let's go to the phones. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
Good, good. So listen, my thoughts on this, and they're just my thoughts, okay?
Okay.
Is, you know, I'm 57, so back in the 80s, I think the Democrats went through the great, and I call Bill Clinton, you know, the great experiment in pragmatism, if you want to put it. It's a popular term nowadays.
But yeah, isn't
you
it
know
though?
What? I don't think it worked. And, you know, it sounds really, I don't think Carter had enough gumption, and I don't think he was aggressive enough to really pursue, and he didn't see the emerging problem. And we didn't see it during the Reagan era. You know, but what's emerged is just Donald Trump. You're exactly right. And you know, what my opinion is Bernie Sanders is not even enough. And I think we're going to have to, on some legal level, forcefully erase, you know, the 30 years of just, you know, a compilation of Republican and right-wing laws that have actually turned us into an international pariah, and it's turned us, and look around Portland, you know, bridges, roads, jobs, homeless, et cetera, et cetera. This is every city in the United States. And how long can it go? Well, and I'll real quick, my opinion is it will go until there's a major crisis. And that's what the Republican Party and the right wing of this country is looking for, is a crisis that will turn us, you know, dissolve the government and turn it into a force for corporate domination. You know, I mean, and it's not a conspiracy. I think it's just, if you look at Egypt, Honduras, El Salvador, these are all things that came to pass. And I think I think Americans better start waking up to the idea that the same people who brought you Chile, Argentina, and all these other situations, Iraq, The same people who brought you these situations are going to bring you, you know, the new America, and that will be through either a right wing, you know, election of Donald Trump, or it will be through the pragmatism of Hillary Clinton. And you know what? It's pretty scary. We better all just demand Bernie get in there. And Bernie is probably, like Bill Clinton, one step in the process of coming back to what we were back in the New Deal era or in the 60s. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. It sounds like you're making two primary points here, if I may. One is that you believe the Republican Party to continue to operate under the principles of the shock doctrine that Naomi Klein outlined so eloquently, that tragedy, that disaster, is an opportunity to move in and forcefully implement one's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, you're saying, if I hear you correctly, that Bernie Sanders' movement, while not enough to catapult him into the White House, is a necessary step in sort of coming back to a real and viable progressive movement and establishment in this country.
Let me just reiterate one strong point. I think Jimmy Carter's the worst thing that Jimmy Carter did, and I think or didn't do, was go through the White House and the Congress and the whole government and start arresting people, starting with Nixon and Ford and Kissinger, you know. And, you know, I mean, those people had crimes against them, and they should have been I think they should have been incarcerated.
Well, Nixon's crimes were wiped away.
At least taken out of the public decision-making process. But we left them in, we bought their books, and we've elevated all these people to a level. I'm waiting for George Bush Jr., you know, W, to come out and start advising, you know, our next president. So I'll leave it at that.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that. Thank you for that call. I'm depressed now.
No, why be depressed? We know what's going on, basically. You know, it's a variation of what I'm saying, maybe. But, you know, I mean, I feel very strongly about it. But you know what? The point is at this point, we either have to do something about it or suffer these consequences. And I'll say this again. Look at Chile. Look at Egypt. Look at Iraq. Is that what we want America to look like? And that's where we're headed.
Well, thank you, sir, for the call.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it. You do the same. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to take part in this conversation. If you can't make a call or you don't want to make a call, you can leave a comment on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Abe and Joe. Or you can hop on the Twitter machine and send me a tweet. I'm at HonestAbe72. Let's go back to the phones. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Abe.
What's on your mind?
Well, my candidate was Kasich, who didn't make it, right?
Right.
And I look at Hillary, who's just completely unacceptable to me in one way, and Trump, who's pretty unacceptable to me in another way, and the whole thing just gets me really fed up. So, by sheer coincidence, I bought some music software that's named after a mythical monster named Cthulhu, C-T-H-U-L-H-U.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Cthulhu.
Okay. Invented by H.P. Lovecraft, the science fiction author in the 1920s. Cthulhu is like the essence of evil, probably about as bad as Satan, right? So when I bought the software, I didn't really know who Cthulhu was. I had just seen the word around, but I didn't know. So I looked it up online, and in the process of looking it up online, I discovered that there's a Cthulhu 2016 campaign going.
Oh, yeah? Are you going to throw your weight behind Cthulhu?
I'm probably going to write Cthulhu in this fall because Hillary's just unacceptable to me, and Trump, while I love the way he shreds political correctness, I just, you know, the guy's psychologically maybe not the right guy to be president, to put it sort of mildly. Anyways, so what I love about the Cthulhu 2016 campaign is that there's two campaign posters you can see on the internet for Cthulhu, and each of them has a different slogan on it. And the first one has a slogan that says, "No lives matter."
Hmm.
And the second one has a slogan that says, "The greater of two evils."
Ah, I see.
So,
you're just going all in for evil.
What?
You're just going all in for evil.
Yeah, my position is if I got to vote for evil either way, I'm going to go all the way. Exactly.
Why didn't you just write in Dick Cheney? It seems to me this is the direction conservatism's been going for a while. You don't have to go with a mythical deity. You can just write in Dick Cheney.
Are you missing the expression of my disgust through satire?
No, I'm not missing that at all. I'm just playing along with you. Okay. I would like to follow up on a couple of your points, though. You said you admired the way Donald Trump shreds political correctness. So I'm wondering that if, seemingly like Trump and many of his supporters, you want to go back to a time when you could just talk smack about women and minorities with impunity? Is that what you mean?
You could ask me what I mean instead of putting words into my mouth.
Well, tell us what you mean.
Look at what happened at the University of Missouri, for instance. Look at what happened, there's an aspect of what you're probably thinking of about political correctness, which says you shouldn't say bad things to people, which I have no problem with. There's another aspect of political correctness, the one that I don't like, which just says, you know, anything that anybody with whatever psychological problems they may have deems, quote, offensive, unquote, shouldn't be said, and we don't give a rip about freedom of speech. You know, I guess the right phrase was it's jumped the shark. And I think one of the aspects of why Trump is sort of won the nomination is that political correctness has jumped the shark and people are fed up with it. It doesn't mean I believe people should be abused, but it's taken to such an incredible extreme lately that it's pathological.
So when Trump calls people coming from Mexico rapists and criminals, and when he talks about building a giant wall across the border, you're saying that's a healthy corrective for political correctness?
I'm just saying when something's gotten so extreme that it's literally dangerous. I mean, you can find this on the internet. There's a professor in University of California somewhere who wrote an article that got pretty wide play of the title of which was, "I'm Terrified of My Liberal Students." Professors have gotten into real trouble and lost their jobs for saying the most innocuous things that somebody deemed was politically incorrect and got them into big trouble. I don't think that what Trump said about Mexico is a wonderful thing for somebody to say. But I understand the emotional level of where stuff like that resonates.
Okay, and let me follow up with one more question for you, because I do enjoy talking with you, Michael, even though we don't, we hardly ever agree. you've mentioned that Hillary Clinton, and we've come up against your 3-minute barrier, but I still want to ask you this question here quickly.
I'll chime in.
Sure. you said that Hillary Clinton is unacceptable to you for a number of reasons. And clearly you've said that Trump was also unacceptable, so much so that you're going to vote for Cthulhu.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, when you do that calculus, when you objectively weigh Hillary Clinton on the one side and Donald Trump on the other side, you're finding that he's a better choice than she is? I'm wondering what led you to that place.
Well, I didn't say he was a better choice than him. I said that he was a better choice than her. I said I was fed up. I was fed up in both directions.
Oh, okay.
And I can tell you the ambivalence. You know, the ambivalence is kind of interesting because it's like my superego says, well, you probably ought to vote for Hillary. My id says, you know what, I really love the way Trump shreds political correctness. And my ego, caught in the middle, just is going to follow what Hunter S. Thompson once said, which was, sometimes the best thing you can do is find the dark corner of the porch, sit down, rip the top off a beer, and watch.
I think we'll leave it there. Well, thank you, sir.
Sure.
those words from Hunter S. Thompson are maybe the wisest thing you're going to hear today. But following on what Michael just said, I have a question out there for conservatives, if you're listening, and I'd really like to hear the answer, because I've asked this of a few people in my life, and I really haven't heard an answer that I found to be satisfactory. And here's the question. I know that there's a whole lot of conservatives out there who are not happy with the fact that Donald Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee and are going to have a great deal of trouble supporting him in the general election. But the answer I keep getting when I put it to these conservative folks in my life, when I put this question to them, Trump or Hillary, and they say, "Wow, man, Trump is just a fool and an idiot, but I just can't support Hillary Clinton." And then I ask why, and the answers really don't seem to hold a whole lot of water. And what they all seem to come down to is one of two things. First, that she's just a member of the wrong tribe, and that they can't, as self-described conservatives, ever bring themselves to vote for, first, a Democrat, second, a Democrat named Clinton, third, a Democrat named Clinton with no penis. That's what it seems to boil down to me for. So conservatives, if you have a rational argument as to why Donald Trump is a preferable candidate to Hillary Clinton, I'd be really interested to hear that argument. 503-231-8187. Who's next, Steve? Francis, good morning.
Well, Hillary's appealing to those central Republicans right now.
You think so? I don't think she is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I agree with your first caller pretty much with everything he said.
I
saw on the social media this cartoon of these wealthy-looking men sitting, sitting around like a Monopoly board playing a game, Monopoly game. And the board was sitting on the backs of a bunch of people that were huddled down, crouched over. And the caption said, "All we need to do is stand up and it's all over."
Hmm.
And I agree with your first caller. To me, the choice, if it's Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, there's also a picture going around in social media of Hillary and her husband and Donald and his wife partying together, and I think it was maybe at one of Donald's weddings or something.
Yeah, one of his weddings.
And to me, it's a choice between overt and covert. And if we're talking about, and as your first caller said, you know, why prolong the misery? You know, if we're going to do this, we need to do it now. And it was interesting to me was on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday morning, they talked about how a national poll has shown that over, I think it was like 52% of the American population would consider voting for a third-party candidate. And then they said, but there's no one to lead that third party. And I said, is this really real? Are these people serious?
Hmm.
Are they not hearing what they just said? And there are people waiting. They're going to wait through the convention, because they're going to give the Democratic Party its props to see what this, what is it now? Bernie's got about a third of the people on their platform committee now.
Yep.
If that's going to make any difference at all.
Well,
just see how it goes. They're going to let it go through the convention, though, because that's what we should do. But don't think that there aren't people ready to do a third party. And it will be, they're probably waiting to see if Bernie would be willing to do that. Because as the MSNBC polls has indicated, there are 52% of these people right now who are ready to pick somebody other than these two who are of the same ilk.
Now, you raise an interesting point there.
And for the person who called after I spoke last week, saying that Frances needs to know that if she doesn't vote for Hillary, she's voting for Trump, that is so far from the truth. And I'm voting for the people. And we're, everybody's just getting ready to figure out how we're going to do this in a very peaceful manner. And hopefully the media, corporate media, will catch up with us.
Let me ask you one question, Francis, before we let you go. You mentioned early in your call that you felt that that Hillary Clinton, as an establishment-friendly, corporate-friendly Democratic candidate, was having some appeal for conservative voters.
No, I'm saying she is appealing to them now.
Oh, she is saying,
you know,
vote for me.
She's putting on more jewelry now, if you haven't noticed, because she's through getting the votes of the
okay.
people.
Well,
now she's trying to get the corporate more of these Republican votes, so she's changing her little style a little bit.
Well, the only thing that conservatives might hate more than Barack Obama is somebody named Clinton, though. That's the problem.
Well, you know, I think that's a joke.
You think so?
Hillary. You know, she calls herself a Democrat, and I don't think that Republicans are that stupid. But
well, we might disagree there. Go ahead.
But it is it's more than that. I mean, Hillary was a Goldwater girl.
Yes, she was.
Right. Mm-hmm. She loves what's his name, Kissinger.
Yes,
you know,
she does.
Look what happened in Honduras.
Right.
You know, she's not a choice. The reason that the police are getting away with murdering our children is because she called them super predators. You know, she is not an option.
That might be an oversimplification of a pretty complex problem.
Well, no, that is an oversimplification. I agree. But that's the point. The climate was set.
Yeah, she certainly helped set that climate.
She allowed that climate.
Yeah, and Bill Clinton's crime bill in 1994 was a big part of that as well. Well, Francis, right, thank you, as always, for your call.
All right, you take care.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see here. We have a couple comments on the internet tubes. David writes to the Twitter machine, that's HonestAbe72, or at HonestAbe72. David writes, I can live with Clinton or Trump. I can't live with playing lesser of two evils madness anymore. I will probably vote green. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Who's next on the phone, Steve? Zach, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to say that I completely agree also with Francis that there's little change what can come and that the appeal of Clinton to center-oriented conservatives, I'm personally not a member of any party. I don't have any faith in this political system, and I find it amusing that we'll always and continuously talk about Congress and the wars and the everything else that we complain about and that we need to address, and then as soon as there's a national election, everything is focused on a figurehead who has not done nor will ever do anything positive for anybody who has the ability to vote for them, even if their policies are meant in a grand sweep to benefit this country. That just doesn't exist anymore. We have Trump on the right, and we have Clinton in the center right, and I don't think that she's really center right for the most part. As for the super predator comment that she made, as a white male, as a white hetero male, I am not going to speak upon an entire community's effects on what political verbiage can do to them and how police can get away with what they get away with. I just like to bring out the simple fact that we talk about our national leaders. I'm a veteran of 10 years. We talk about our national leaders. We talk about the figureheads and the politics and the statements that they make. But the meat, the juice, the everyday grit is felt by people like me, like Francis, like the families of people, of Tamir Rice, of people who are getting deported by our deporter-in-chief, all of these things. These are the things that affect us. And if anyone's going to start talking about those things in a real, sensical manner that's going to appeal to people, it doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat. It matters that they stick to what they say they're going to do, which never happens. We continuously lie to ourselves that this person is the best, the lesser of two evils. Well, that's just not ethically and morally right to do. I don't want to have to choose. If I was overseas, I would have to choose between a group like al-Nusra or Daesh if I was in Syria, if I was in one of those areas. Why would I choose between either one of those two? I have a thing called rational thought and logical mindset. I'm a human being who doesn't wish harm upon others. But that's continuously what these party politics bring about, not only to the rest of the world but here at home, because we militarize our police and we get away with it because it makes money. So no, Clinton is not an option. Trump, at least I would imagine that there would be a complete breakdown of society quicker if he comes to lead. And as far as I'm concerned, this country is well overdue for an audit in that sense. But I just want to make it clear in my opinion, as a person who's had a lot of experience in these situations in these countries that are facing long political standing change when left becomes extreme left and right becomes extreme right, that it does not lead to any form of betterment for the country, especially when people aren't addressing a tangible and economic viable alternative to what currently exists. And that's not happening. The only person who is Sanders, and the Democrats don't want that. The Democratic Party didn't want that. I know I'm over my time limit, but I want to say thank you, and I appreciate your show and the station. KBOO, rock on.
Thank you. And that was, wow. Yes, we exist, our political life, our discourse, the choices we make that affect the future of our lives and those of our descendants are made in the context of a profoundly broken and diseased institution. We have an overwhelming need in this country and all over the world for profound and sweeping institutional change. The fact is that the democratic institutions that served us perhaps not excellently throughout our history, but pretty well, especially at certain points in our history, are failing, have failed, have become completely bought and paid for by the wealthiest among us, to the point that virtually no business of any kind can take place in Washington. And any business that does transpire benefits the ruling class. Our institutions are broken. We are limping along with an illusion of choice, as our caller just so eloquently put before us. We are presented every 4 years with the illusion of real choice. Very rarely does somebody come along who is able to muster the political will and the popular support to actually threaten the prerogatives of the ruling class. This time around, that person is Bernie Sanders. But as the caller just pointed out, the Democratic establishment is having none of that. And it's perhaps only having a little bit of that. The question now is that enough? Is that enough to build momentum towards real and sustained systemic change in this country? I hope that it is, but I think that it isn't. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Coming up this morning on KBOO and at 9 on Alternative Radio, John Kiriakou speaks on the war on whistleblowers. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear Letters in Politics with Professor of History Elizabeth Hinton discussing her book From the War on Poverty to the War on Crime, The Making of Mass Incarceration in America. At 11, on Stage and Studio, host D. May Roberts speaks with veteran playwright Philip Congatanda, who is now a traveling master for the Dramatists Guild Fund, about his class called Challenges of Writing from a Racial and Cultural Perspective at Portland Center Stage. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews architects Robert Hoffman and Brian Kavanaugh about Snøhetta, the Norwegian architecture firm that is designing the James Beard Public Market in downtown Portland and the Willamette Falls Riverwalk in Oregon City. All this and more coming up on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. My name is Abe Proctor. Joe Uris is not with us today. We are having a pretty charged and a pretty thoughtful and a very intelligent discussion, I think, on the current state of politics in the United States. Really getting a diversity of input this morning, and I'm really grateful for that. This show wouldn't work without our callers and without the participation we get from our listeners. And I am time and again blown away by the insight, by the nuance, by the sophistication of the analysis that we are presented with by our listeners. It makes me really grateful to be in this chair behind this microphone, so I thank you for it. John writes into the Facebook page to say, every poll now indicates Hillary versus Trump is an even call, while Bernie leads with a comfortable margin. It's no wonder that Trump prefers Clinton as the Dem nominee. It's no wonder that so many are not bothering to turn out to vote, with midstream rule changes, disenfranchisement, suppression, restricted access, etc., which happens irrespective of party. John left that comment on the Facebook page, facebook.com/AbeandJoe. Let's go back to the phones. Tim, good morning. Tim, you're on the air. All right, well, let's come back to Tim if we can. Let's try John. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks a lot. Now I have to follow up all those brilliant words you just said about sophistication and
yeah, no pressure. And
yeah.
Go.
And I shouldn't. Yeah, and I probably shouldn't have partaken in my legal right now to use marijuana in Oregon because I'm a little jazzed up here. But let me see what I can do.
Yeah, save that to celebrate after your call.
That's probably what I should have done. I want to just try to make it succinct here. Yeah, I am. Well, I'll use my adjectives and my nouns here if I can.
Sure.
Describing myself, I'm a environmentalist libertarian with a strong proclivity of people unionizing and women's rights that should probably be ruling this country in the next few months. But that doesn't need to happen with Hillary yet. It can happen with Bernie still, and maybe not. But let's see. Let's give the man a chance for another 2.5 weeks. And then, yes, we need to get behind someone who's not going to throw cluster bombs all over the Middle East and make this Islamic State very large and really spread out, diffuse. That's scary. So let's get behind her if we have to. But let's just have some fun for 2.5 weeks. It's not going to hurt anything. She's not going to be that different than Trump other than the extreme crimes, not here, over out throughout there on the planet. And there's too much of that going on, and it's coming back to roost. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Revolution Livestream writes into the Twitter machine to say, yes, the broken system is by design. It is distracting us and turning us all against each other while they dominate us. Finding it hard to argue with that statement. 503-231-8187. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on 90.7 FM KBOO, community-supported radio in Portland, Oregon and vicinity. Let's try Tim again. Good morning,
hey,
Tim.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to say that, I really can't stand Trump, and I really can't stand Hillary, and if that's the choice, I'm going to write in Bernie Sanders. I like what he's for. And the main thing that I really can't stand about Hillary Clinton is the fact that she won't put out her tapes or transcripts of her speeches, because that, to me, tells me that there's a I have a picture in my mind of her opening up her speech by going, "Oh, we got away with it. Isn't that great? Look, all the money's ours now." You know, that's what I have in my mind, and that's probably what happened. And so I can't stand her, and even if she did put out stuff, it would probably be like Nixon with a bunch of, stuff erased of those candidates, and I'm going to write in Bernie Sanders, and I don't know if it's too late for him to go out on his own, not part of the Democratic Party at this point. He should just say he's an independent.
Well, he could do that, I think, at any time. I think he's already given assurances that he won't do that. But if he were to do that, I think that would deliver the election into the hands of Donald Trump.
Yeah. I think people would write him in. Just like I called in the other week and said that he should have ran as an independent from the get-go, and I think he'd be the next president.
Hmm.
I think he blew it. But that's just me.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, man. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Brian writes into the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe. Let's be honest, he writes. Hillary Clinton is what is commonly known as a blue dog Dempublican, like our own beloved, that's in scare quotes, Representative Kurt Schrader in Tillamook County, who votes with the T-Thuglicans 65% of the time. That leaves a choice of wavering right of center, alleged Dem, or an all-over-the-place rightist in Donald Trump. So it sounds like Brian is quite unsatisfied with the false choice arrayed before him this time around, as are a great many of you, I would suspect. 503-231-8187. Over at the Twitter machine, David follows up his earlier tweet by saying, Trump is preferable in one regard. He's more likely than Clinton to spark a commensurate progressive response to empire. Whew, that is a slippery slope. one might consider when one imagines the consequences of a Donald Trump presidency, that a commensurate progressive response to empire might be a tad bit more bloody than many of us might desire. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Who's next, Steve? Bruce, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Trying to clear the cobwebs out of my mind right now. You're helping. Thank you.
Hey, happy to help.
Yeah. You know, in past elections, I've usually voted for the lesser of two evils. It seems like that's what it's come down to. And Obama wasn't that way. Here we go again. Trump and Hillary. I'm not going to vote for the less of two evils. You know, I'll be voting for Independent Party, Green Party. That's it. And I just cannot live with myself anymore, the lesser of two evils. That doesn't wash anymore. My real fear is that if a third-party candidate or Bernie gets elected, I fear that this is going to be another road down which JFK traveled, that this new radical president is not going to last his term. The hidden power structures will be so freaked out that they'll do away with him, just like with JFK. I feel really, really strong about that. I mean, there's no way the power is going to be okay with Sanders or a third-party candidate.
So you think that that's a foregone conclusion?
Well, I don't know if it's foregone, but that's my fear. How could they allow this to happen? You know?
Now that's, if you look back at not so distant American political history here, anybody who did manage to rise to a position where they had the support and the platform to seriously challenge the prerogatives of the ruling class, those people tended to end up dead.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I just, you know, the minute that Sanders started getting momentum and everybody said, no, he doesn't have a chance, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, he does have a chance, or somebody in those shoes, I start thinking about, you know, I got flashbacks to Kennedy, and I know exactly what happened. I mean, I was in a class, and I heard it, and, you know, come over the intercom that Kennedy was assassinated. I go, here we go again. This is, you know, I don't like to think about it, but this is a fear that I have. I just wanted to put that out there. I've not talked about that before, but this is, oh boy. I hope it doesn't come to be, but...
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Yeah. Okay, keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks. That was a sobering phone call, but thank you for it, nonetheless.
Yeah, thanks, bye.
Wow. As Engineer Steve just whispered in my ear, he said that he had a very real fear that someone was going to try and shoot President Obama, and I confess to having that same fear. And I remember reading a report a few years ago that the Secret Service... To date, at that point, and I think that was just into Obama's second term, the Secret Service had received more death threats to that point in Obama's presidency than they had ever received since the time they started keeping track of death threats to presidents. Susan writes into the Facebook page, a two-part response to your question, Susan writes, could you live with a Hillary presidency? The answer is one, yes. Because while my gut doesn't want her as president, when I think of Donald representing the U.S. at a G8 summit, I cringe. Oh, boy. Two, however, similar to this whole political season where everything has been turned upside down, I suspect both party conventions may surprise us, and neither Trump nor Clinton will emerge as candidates. Interesting. I think that Susan is right in that both conventions will be quite surprising. But I don't think that we're going to see anyone but Clinton and Trump emerge as candidates, which is not to say there won't be some very entertaining fireworks along the way. As a matter of fact, I'd like to point people's attention to a recent article yesterday, published by the Associated Press with the headline, Sanders, Democratic Convention Could Be Messy. And it goes on to detail Bernie's thoughts about how the convention is likely going to be pretty rancorous this time around, and that the sort of messy arguments and messy floor fights that are going to take place will be ultimately beneficial to both the Democratic Party and to American democracy. I hope that he's right. One thing, though, if polling data is to be believed, the ongoing contest between Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton has served to energize progressives and the Democratic Party rather than turning people off. Most Democrats in the polls that I have read feel that it has pushed the party in a positive direction and that it has served to engage voters who might not otherwise be quite as engaged. So I think Bernie is onto something when he says that messy democracy is productive, positive democracy. 503-231-8187. Who's next? Ted, good morning.
Hi. I'd just like to make two comments. One, in response to one earlier caller, at least, who seemed to be embracing revolution. Revolution is dangerous. You may not get what you want. Libya, Egypt, we just have to think of those. Two, every 4 years, we all get riled up and get ready to vote for some Superman who's going to change everything and make everything right. And that seems to be about the limit of the involvement of Americans, most Americans, in politics. That isn't going to work. One guy, Obama, had a lot of hope, but he wasn't able to deliver in many cases. And this Superman idea, the idea that just every 4 years you get to cast one vote and that's all you have to do to be a citizen, I think that's childish.
Agreed.
We need to be there in these boring meetings with local politics and neighborhood associations and party meetings and stuff like that and doing the hard work of building the platform that we can build on. Revolution, too dangerous. We need to start once a month going to some kind of political meeting to lay a foundation. Those are my comments.
Well, thank you very much for the call. I'm in agreement with you. I mean, it's sometimes it's easy to romanticize the notion of revolution and that sort of crucial and profound struggle in one's own lifetime. I mean, there's a lot that's appealing about that on a certain level. But as a caller so astutely pointed out, the reality of revolution, in addition to being a reality grounded in pain and in bloodshed and in death. You often don't get what you wanted when you set out.
Yes, so, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I thought we'd already, you had already hung up. Anyway, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I think people ought to slow down and think twice when they start calling for a revolution, at least a revolution in the traditional, military, violent sort of way. I know the revolution that Bernie Sanders talks about is something a little bit different. But I always, advise caution when people start talking in that vein. You don't always get what you want, and the cost is often pretty damn high. And I think that while there's still an opportunity to work within existing institutions and to change those institutions so that they do what we need them to do as a free people, if the answer possibly lies there, then that's where we got to go. 503-231-8187. Let's get one last phone call in if we can. David, good morning.
Hey, I'm glad to get in right after that last call because I was about to lose it until he came on because I agree with him how every 4 years these people think that we can just get a perfect Superman or something. But anyway, that isn't what I called about. The one thing I called about is these terms that come up, voting for the lesser of evils, hold my nose and vote. All these terms come from the right wing, and what they try to do is discourage voting because they don't have the numbers, in a sense, and they need us to not vote as much, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So I just, when I hear these terms, these people always saying it, you can vote for Hillary. You don't have to hold your nose. she knows about deodorant and stuff, you know, it'll be cool. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that. She knows about deodorant. Well, thank you, everybody. That was a really good conversation today. I enjoyed that very much. Hopefully, Joe will be back with us next week, and we can pick up where we left off. In the meantime, thank you for your support of this program and of this radio station. We couldn't do it without you on both counts. I'll talk to you next week.
In the air, from those nets, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. It's 9:01. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on Alternative